rest were like, what? You know, versus the leading people at Monsanto that did Roundup Ready crops knew him because they read the patents.
Mm-hmm.
And they had actually a pretty good idea of how he did it, too, because they kind of knew what might be involved if you, you know. So they were quite familiar with it. Oh, you're Tim Krogan's brother, and we know about Tim Krogan and stuff. But your typical academic, because it wasn't in the literature, and they don't read patents usually, wouldn't know who did it.
And then and the material ended up with breeders. So now breeders are releasing varieties. They're releasing Clearfield varieties. And it's like, oh, you know, so-and-so released a Clearfield variety. But they don't really know who started.
The originator.
The originator.
Which wasn't that big a deal to me, actually.
Having your name known?
Yeah, wasn't that big.
And so another crazy thing is what the company didn't want is for farmers to keep their seed. So normally you would sell your seed, but you would keep some to plant the next year. They wanted the farmer to have to go back and buy seed from them. And it's called brown bagging, I think it's called. And apparently that happened somewhere. And I remember...
Where they didn't return the seed?
Right, they were brown bagging. And it was like, oh, is the chemical company going to go after them? Because that was, you know, the big threat, we're going to fine you and all this bit. And Tim said, you know, that farmer is trying to feed his family, and he's doing what he wants, and that was the whole goal of this, is to feed people. So let him keep the brown man.
you certainly don't get a royalty from every acre of that.
No.
There's a lot of it planted by poor people.
Exactly.
Desperate people.
Especially overseas.
Yeah. It's fine. Short on
and
cash.
It ended up in China, and there's no protection for it, but there's nothing to be done about
So after the patent is issued, the first patent, the second patent is issued, you're still doing some research, but as mentioned, you decided to retire in 2004. Why is it that you decided that it was time to retire?
2005.
Well, January 1st, 2005.
January 1st, 2005. Okay. So why did you decide to stop?
Oh, that's a good question. Why did I decide to stop?
Because I retired.
Because she retired. Wasn't fun anymore.
Wasn't fun anymore? Because did you have to share your lab? How long before?
Oh, yeah, we shared our lab all along.
But how long before he retired?
I retired in 2001.
Okay. So another 3 years.
And he was going to stay another 5 years to get so many years with the university.
Mm-hmm.
I had some time from California that I added to my Louisiana time. That's why I was able to retire. And the kids were young then. And Tim said, well, I'm going to stay 5 more years, and you know, you get that extra little blip. And after 3 years, he said, nah, this isn't any fun anymore.
I was just wondering, did you have to share your space with someone else then?
No.
I see, you just took over the entire space.
Yeah. Right.
And at the time that you retired, so with the position at LSU, I can understand when an individual retires. Does that mean that the laboratory and the research happening in that laboratory also shut down, or does the university look for someone to continue on?
They didn't look.
Well, so you had brought in two individuals from Indonesia.
Oh,
he had brought in a couple.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And actually brought in one, and then we helped the spouse come and stuff, and you had hired both, and... Tim had been working on some protein, high protein rice, and and he basically took that over, and then they were doing also some other little projects that you had started. They kind of took that over, and I think, well, actually, she just passed away.
She
but
did.
Yeah, I never heard why, something sudden, but I think he's still there.
Yeah, Harry Otomo.
So the married couple moves on, and in comes another married couple. That means LSU is probably tradition. You know, if you're married, then you know you can't advance. So very fitting then. So you stopped doing your research in 2004, 2005. You are retired.
Yes,
what do you become involved with after that?
Oh, what would you say I got involved with?
Your estate?
Yeah. We have 125 acres.
Yeah.
But also, we kind of started like a little side company, and we thought, well, maybe we can do some of this on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And we dabbled in it for a few years, but then it wasn't going anywhere, and it was just hard to work with, you know, different people and stuff, so we just said no.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just move on. But
we built a beautiful house and bought a bunch of acreage and customized it to their
landscaped it.
Mm-hmm.
We took rice fields and turned it into a park.
So they're going to have a very long oak alley at some point, like what, a mile long of the oak trees making an arch.
Right.
Once they all get big enough, and so we have family reunions down there and just have a blast. 15-acre pond to fish in and all this other acreage on the edge of bayou country. So part of it is cypress trees and alligators and gorgeous, huge bugs.
Snakes.
That the kids can have as pets.
Yeah.
Put on rubber boots and bug spray and go out there.
One question that I have is, so you talked about, you know, your garden, right? Early on when you were a student and having your garden and you were enjoying that, it's something that you got into. And in some ways I was thinking of your work at the Rice Research Station as like a bigger garden of sorts. Are you back into gardening? Like when you retired, did you feel compelled that you no longer had your fields, right? Because you left your fields. Did you want to create a new garden for yourself after you retired?
We moved into trees.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're famous for having thousands of trees that we've raised from either little saplings that we bought or acorns that we have collected.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we have thousands of trees.
I think your analysis is right on.
Yeah,
just change which plant.
Yes.
But it's all a version of agriculture, farming, gardening.
Yes.
So I think those are the major questions that I had. You know, I'm happy to talk about more if there are other things that you want to discuss or if there are things that we haven't had a chance to speak about more. I know that early on religion was a significant, you know, with a father who's a pastor, that was an important component of your early life. I don't know if religion or other social causes or anything else has been important and we haven't discussed. So I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to raise anything before we end that, you know, I haven't covered or that you'd just like to talk about in greater detail.
Yeah. Can you think of anything?
I just would like to say that I think for our children, you know, we just, the family was important, education was important.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't so much things as it was just that time spent on the land and stuff like that. And learning, and our kids, we were fortunate that there was a school that they went to that really prepared them well, and they went off and were able to accomplish and become very productive adults and do that. And I think that's...
very proud of our kids.
Yeah.
And medicine, veterinary medicine, and mathematics?
Right. So Pete is MD, and Carolyn is a vet, and Bill just finished his PhD in neuroscience.
Oh, neuroscience.
Kind of math, computers, and they're all married.
So I think we're just wrapping up. And so I just want to thank you for sitting with
you.
Me for the past couple of days. And as I mentioned, we'll get this transcribed and out to you and whatever you want the final product to look like.
I have one little comment.
Please.
We come, Irish immigrants, great-great-grandfather, illiterate, spoke no English, came to the U.S. through New Orleans, probably dug ditches at risk of getting yellow fever, you know, at the time when no Irish need apply for any reasonable job. And then his son worked on the railroads, permanently disabled doing that, no compensation. So this is old school Irish.
So more late 19th century coming over?
Yeah. And then our grandfather eventually ran a fish cannery, but didn't go to college. And then our dad was the first one to go to college and his whole family. And then now lots of PhDs and MDs coming out of that. But if you look at historically, there was still this Irish laborer, kind of tough guy, stubborn, don't quit, can't complain about the conditions, can't complain how hard the work is, that has, it's part of our family's past. You know, it, you run into a lot of Mexican immigrants in California that are like this, you know, extremely tough farm laborers, you know.
Persistent.
That the Irish used to be like that. Maybe a few are. Some can still be. But, you know, if you see the movie The Field, it's a one about Ireland, and the guy drags up seaweed to this field on his back for years and years. And he's just, the movie ends tragically, but he's an extremely stubborn, tough guy. And I think that's part of how Tim pulled it off. It is like, you got to have this, obviously, strong science background and education, but most people wouldn't be going into the summer in the middle of Louisiana when it's, you know, 99 degrees and 99% humidity day after day after day after day, spraying, doing whatever. So that's how we were all raised.
Yeah.
Was this sort of weird combo of coming out of the laborer world, and our dad would force us to do lots of hard work when we were like 10, you know, chopping wood or could barely hold the axe. And then be a very strong scholarly, and we were sort of weird combos. He does it in his work. I do it with sports, where I, you know, ski super difficult stuff and mountain bike super difficult stuff. But it's not a productive thing to do. But it's that same toughness, physical toughness.
I mean, a decade and a half doing the same work every day, looking for a solution to something that you saw as a major social problem.
Yes.
Yeah, feeding people.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep, and Tim and I used to occasionally try to take on the bullies at school. Sometimes we'd win and sometimes we'd lose. But that was
another... You notice my nose is...
It's mine too. But yeah, that was how we were raised, to not quit, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
And thank you all.
And thank you.